Welcome to the Huntington Way Show, where we help parents navigate the educational maze. I'm your host, Yvonne Strawn, author and founder of Inspirational Homeschooling. I am here with Russ, and he was a homeschool dad, but also a Christian teacher back in the 80s, and really supports homeschooling today as well. I feel it's important to talk about the history of homeschooling. So we're going to go through that and then also his journey. Before I get started, I want to thank Inspirational Homeschooling and the Huntington Learning Center for bringing this show to you. You're listening on Power Talk 1040 AM, 98.5 FM, and 95.7 FM. Please like and subscribe to Power Talk 1040 on YouTube. Welcome to the show, Russ.
Thank you, Yvonne. It's great to be here and have the privilege of talking about something that's important to me and my family.
Oh, I love that you are here, and it is such a privilege to have you here. Let's talk about why and how you decided to homeschool.
Well, at that time, my wife, Kathy, and I were the privileged and grateful parents of three young children, all under age five.
Wow.
And she was a homemaker. And as you mentioned, I was a Christian school educator, classroom teacher. We were reflecting on several passages of scripture together, notably Psalm 127, which reminds us that children are a gift from the Lord. We also reflected on Proverbs 22, which tells us that we should train up our children in the way they should go, and when they are old, they won't depart from it. And then there was a passage in Ephesians 6 that made it a little more personal for me as a dad and says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And finally, and especially, Deuteronomy 6. And as I reflected on that one, which essentially says when to train your children, it says when they rise up, when they walk by the way, when they sit at the table, and when they lie down. And I was thinking, what does that leave out?
Right. It's everything, right? We should be training our children all the time.
Exactly.
Yes.
So Kathy expressed how our firstborn was eager to learn and read, but she wanted him to stay close and preferably at home. At the time, we agreed that she would focus on biblical character development and use her piano training to cultivate a love of music in our children. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I would tackle the other age-appropriate academic assignments. We were well aware that compulsory education did not apply until age seven, so we proceeded accordingly. We realized there are other good reasons to home educate, but ours was being obedient to our Creator's handbook, and which is also His love letter to us.
Yeah, that's absolutely beautiful. You know, I'm just almost at a loss for words. It's just such a beautiful reason to homeschool, is you just love and care for your kids and you want to do what the Lord guides you to do. So homeschooling was less prevalent in the 70s and 80s, and that's when you had started. It estimated at 0.03% of children being homeschooled at that time, compared to 6.5% of children being homeschooled today. So that must have been hard for you to homeschool and get connected. Were you involved with any other homeschool families at that time?
Well, as one result of my being involved with a Christian school as a Christian school teacher, I became acquainted with a few other families who expressed interest in home educating their own children. And after a few informal meetings, we realized that there were several local families who shared the same perspective of training up their own children. Therefore, we made plans to establish a homeschool support group that could serve as an informal forum as well as for mutual encouragement. As time went on, this support group also included activities for our children, and an example was a community patriotic song program.
Wow. So did you also pray together and then sing together and all of those things? What did that look like? Did you meet weekly?
Well, yes. And one of the little stories that was relevant at the time was our bedtime routine. And so we would have our prayer time and we would all participate. And then we would have a song time. And then we would put our children to bed with a cassette tape of Bible stories by Uncle Dan and Aunt Sue. Okay. So that tells you it was a few years ago.
Oh, that's really sweet. So you're really trying to train up your children all of the time. You're putting all of those verses into your kids' lives daily.
Amen.
Yes. So I want to go through the history of homeschooling, just for our audience, the background. So in 1973, Colorado legislature revised its compulsory attendance law to exempt from school attendance any student being educated at home by a parent under an established system of home study approved by the State Board of Education. Then in 1980, the State Board adopted rules and regulations by administering home study programs, requiring parents without teaching certificates to use a state-approved correspondence course or obtain their school district's permission to choose their own curricula. In 1983, a bill passed that allowed parents to actually enroll their children in an independent or a private school to educate them at home. But some school districts actually questioned this, bringing up court cases such as the Widefield School District versus Bow, where the court actually ruled in the favor of the family because of that word enrolled in the independent or private school. So they were not considered truant and they were able to keep homeschooling. Well, you know, people like Russ and some of these other early homeschoolers really worked together. They formed the Colorado Home Educators Association, which is CHEA, and began advocating for homeschool law. Most of our homeschool laws were established with Senate Bill 56 on March 10th, 1988. And that's really the laws that we see today, with a few provisions in 1993 and 1994, which allowed for homeschool students' participation in public school sports and the option of having a child being evaluated by a qualified person instead of just that nationally standardized testing. So as a parent who has witnessed the benefits of homeschooling in my own life, but also the lives of so many around us, I am so grateful to these parents like Russ here for their hard work in helping establish and protect the homeschool freedoms that we enjoy today. And, you know, listeners, I just want to tell you, you know, sometimes laws can change. We have had people work so hard to make sure that we have the freedom to home educate our children, to raise them up in the Lord as we see fit, to work on those morals and those ethics and know our children, know what they're learning. And in 2008, the Delegate Assembly of the Colorado Association of School Boards actually passed a resolution in favor of improving the state homeschool law. So, you know, laws can change. I feel it is important to remain watchful on how society impacts our kids and protects our rights to homeschool. Do you have anything to say about that, Russ?
Well, one of the things that has always arisen in the conversations about home educating is the question of socialization. And when you want to grow flowers or plants with a strong root system, do you start with a greenhouse environment? Or do you place them on the hillside subject to the wind and the weather elements?
That's wonderful, Russ. You know what I'm going to do is we're going to come back and we're going to talk about socialization. And so stay tuned. Welcome back to the Huntington Way Show. You're listening on Power Talk 1040 AM, 98.5 FM, and 95.7 FM. I'm your host, Yvonne Strawn, and I'm here talking with Russ about socialization. This show is brought to you by our sponsors, the Huntington Learning Center and Inspirational Homeschooling. Russ, according to the Ed Choice statistics against homeschooling, socialization is still the most common reason why parents choose not to homeschool their children. And I know you just brought this up before the break. So let's talk more about the socialization issue.
So Kathy and I chose the greenhouse approach without any regrets. Children tend to be as social as their parents and or the other adults who raise them. We encouraged exploration activities, ample time with their peers at church, within the support group. There were also neighbors to play with and interact with. Kathy and I interacted with people of all ages, and so our children grew up to do likewise. One encouraging result is that they grew up not being peer dependent, but able to enjoy conversing with those of older and younger of all ages.
Yeah. I mean, that is so true. I noticed it in my own children that, you know, they're able to talk to parents, grandparents, other people in the community. I mean, we can go to any venue and I don't have to speak for them. They just ask the questions they want to ask and talk to the people they need to talk to. So that socialization issue really is kind of put to rest, so to speak, because these kids can talk to people of all ages, which, you know, when you're in the workforce or even when you're out of school at some point, not with all your peers of the same age, you will be speaking to all kinds of different age groups and working with all kinds of different age groups. So looking back, what has been the biggest realization or benefit of homeschooling for your kids?
Well, there are many benefits to home educating for those willing to make the time. You don't need to import the institutional classroom or its methods. As a matter of fact, I would urge you to avoid doing so. Kathy and I realized that having our threesome with us made it very easy to impart our family values in the absence of potentially conflicting ones from elsewhere. I learned that passing along family values was one of the top reasons and motivations for others who chose homeschooling, regardless of their particular belief system. Another key benefit was being free to individualize our program to accommodate all three learning modalities. Our first child was a strong visual learner. Our second was a strong auditory learner. And our third was predominantly a hands-on learner. A further benefit was having all three with us at home. Our firstborn developed some excellent tutorial skills while helping his younger siblings. Each child in turn was able to assist the next with various skills. This gave each a further purpose and value in life with the freedom to nurture their respective God-given talents.
Yeah, and that is so true about homeschooling. What are some of the things that they are doing today and how you've noticed some of those benefits shine?
Well, I see the way that they interact with those in the public forum, as you've already indicated. I'm very proud of our children. I have some very compassionate children. They look out for each other. They look out for the people around them. They look out for the pets. A recent example, a house burned down in the neighborhood of my youngest. So what does she do? She goes over there and she helps raise up funds and get clothing for the family who lost their home. Just
wow.
An example of the kind of thing that they do. Our son is part of a worship team and he just loves honoring the Lord through music.
Yeah.
So that's a couple of examples.
Yeah. So did you incorporate music in the homeschool? Well, you said your wife
was. She's the musician.
Yeah.
I make a joyful noise.
Well, we all have our special gifts. And I think God puts our families together knowing those gifts. He knows every day that is before us. Yeah. So why do you think parents need to seriously consider homeschooling today?
Well, given today's learning climate with school closures and unbiblical philosophy that prevails in the public sector, I would urge any parent, be they a married couple, a single parent, or a grandparent, that training their own family members is a great way to go. Besides, who knows those children better than their own relatives? Nor does such a program need to be expensive, since many good books can be obtained from secondhand sources. There are also some nearby homeschool support groups or part-time homeschool programs that can serve as a resource to interested families. The main issue that remains is how do you want your children to turn out? And therefore, to what would you like them exposed and familiar to? On the one hand is God's unique plan and purpose for each of us, as mentioned in Psalm 139. On the other hand is the world's way, which tends to lead us away from our Creator and His wonderful eternal plan.
Yeah, that's absolutely beautiful. So, you know, there's a lot of things that people are dealing with in the homeschooling community and outside the homeschooling community. So being able to bring your kids at home, you know what they're learning, and you can train them up in the morals and the values that you want, and also just have those family connections. So have you had an experience with some of the homeschooling families talking to you and talking about how they just didn't realize how close they would be, how close-knit, how much more close-knit their family would be as they homeschool?
I think they realized it as we went along. I don't know that we realize it at first. When we start out, we're concerned about, am I meeting all the standards? Am I doing the best thing for my child? But
right.
As we went along and became more comfortable with the process and the results that were so encouraging, then it became quite natural. We really didn't think about it very often.
Yeah,
so.
That's so true. So what is your best advice for homeschooling parents and grandparents today?
Well, first off, in Colorado, we are free to home educate our own children by meeting only a few legal provisions. We have quite a favorable state homeschool law. Besides, who knows your children better than you and their individual needs and capabilities and interests? One of the best ways to protect our children in today's family hostile culture is to train them at home ourselves. This can also be accomplished by cooperating with a satellite homeschool program that can also equip and encourage us along the way. There are likely homeschoolers in your very neighborhood with whom you could interact and glean ideas. Lastly, our podcast hostess, Yvonne, has some excellent recommendations on her inspirational homeschooling website and in her book by the same title.
Oh, well, thank you for saying that. I do love encouraging homeschool families, and I just want to encourage all you parents out there, you know, it doesn't matter your income. As Russ had talked about, you can go to the library. There are several resources out there. And today, with many more people homeschooling, we have that support system. So reach out, and we just encourage you to try homeschooling. It is a blessing. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
Oh, Yvonne, you've said it all very well. Thanks for the privilege and the opportunity to share today.
It's been a privilege to have you here. You are listening on the Power Talk 1040 AM, 98.5 FM, and 95.7 FM. I'm your host, Yvonne Strawn, and we support you in educating your kids. Thank you for joining us.